Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The worst team draft capital can buy. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That, of course, is Kyle Yates, and it's you. And we're talking all things football today, as we always are. It's a very special draft. In fact, it's the all-bust team. That's right. Not everything is sunshine and roses. Not everything's going to work out. And it's important to find the players that you do not want on your team. We talk about so much all the time. The guys that we like, the guys that we have upside thoughts for, the guys that we have high hopes for, expectations. But more often than not, we kind of are remiss to talk about the guys that scare the heck out of us. The guys that we really should be very careful about what kind of shares, what kind of exposure we have to all of them. And Yates, you are definitely not on my bust team. I got to tell you, you are a champ today. Tags has been out all week. Everybody knows he's been sick. He's hopefully getting better on the mend. He's working hard towards that. But Yates had a terrible storm. He had to leave his house. He's doing the show from his sister-in-law's house. He had to pick up all of his equipment, move everything. It was like the Wizard of Oz last night where Yates was. So you're a champ. You are not a bust. You're not a sleeper. You are a premium, as far as I'm concerned, Yates. You're like the 1-1.
Well, I appreciate that. This is a less than ideal setup. I am literally sitting using a folding table for a desk. I have a folding chair. I have my laptop out. I have wires everywhere. But I was not going to miss this show. Super excited for our guest, get to chat with him. It's been a long time since he and I have connected. So, and yeah, you mentioned it. These are players that, you know, we talk about sleepers, we talk about breakouts, we talk about those players a ton, and it's great to view the, you know, from an optimistic lens, but yet at the same time, there are always players every single year that disappoint us. So highlighting those players and making sure that people at least get a sense of who we're thinking about could be those disappointments this year is a good thing. So I'm excited for the show.
And speaking of our guests, it's a really great one. It's someone new to the industry, which is nice. So please be very kind to him. He just started a podcast. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's called The Fantasy Footballers. It's a very clever name. So I want everybody to give him a nice, gracious welcome because, you know, he's still kind of starting out, getting his feet wet here, and he wants everybody to get to know him a little bit better. He's the one, the only, Jason Moore. Obviously, none of that is true. Welcome, Jason, to the program. Again, you are not a bust either. And aren't you flattered that Yates did everything he could just to hang out and spend a little time talking football with you?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it sounds like the sister-in-law is the real champ here, letting him crash her house and use the internet. That's fantastic stuff.
Yeah, very much so. And you have like the antithesis right now of Yates' setup. Like Yates is on a card table somewhere in the corner of a room, and you're there with the beautiful backgrounds, the logos you can see on the YouTube channel. It's very nice, my friend. Very nice. How's things? You must be busy.
Oh, man. It's so busy. It's unbelievable. But this is the time of year that we love. I love to be busy going from show to show to show to show. You know, we're 5 shows a week now, plus our comedy podcast, plus our footcast. It's just nonstop talking and shouting, and but it's all about fantasy football, which means we're happy, we're thrilled, and things are great.
Sounds like just a regular day at my house. Just, you know, all the Italians, just lots of yelling and shouting, and that's what you do. And then eventually there's some sports in there also. And of course, when it comes to sports, we like to give you free stuff here at Fantasy Pros. So make sure you go over to fantasypros.com/contest because we've got that incredible looking Clyde Edwards-Helaire helmet. It's hot, man. I'm telling you right now. It's the black helmet with the red Kansas City Chiefs logo. It's autographed, and we want to give it to you just for listening to the show. All you got to do is go to fantasypros.com/contest. You fill out the form. You go and you get a screenshot of your review of the show. 5 stars, of course. Over on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, and then make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel to get your 3X entry. You fill out the form at fantasybros.com/contest, you upload that, and the CEH helmet can be yours, and then once you're entered into this contest, you're in all the other drawings as well that are going to happen, which is very cool, and you might as well subscribe to the YouTube channel anyway, because next week, Thursday, the 19th, 12 straight hours from 10 in the morning till 10 at night, we are going to be doing the Fantasy Football Fest, and I have to do that voice. Dan Harris told me if I'm going to talk about the fest, I have to do that in a world kind of a voice in order to make that all work, but it's going to be fantastic. We're going to do wall-to-wall coverage. We've got fantastic guests, huge guests. We got Marcus Grant, Adam Rank, Jake Seeley. Hopefully, Tags will be back and ready to go rock and roll. Of course, we'll all be there as well. We're going to do mock drafts. We're going to do content. We're going to do games. You're not going to want to miss it. And the way you don't miss it is going to youtube.com/fantasypros, subscribe, click that little tiny cute adorable notifications button, and just like that, that little bell will give you 12 straight hours of fantasy football. So you can get up in the morning and all the way till nighttime, and Dan Harris or myself will tuck you in. So, gentlemen, it's time to talk about the busts. And, you know, this is very important. You know, we make jokes about the players that scare us and all this stuff. But, Jason, I always feel like it's a very important thing to identify the players you don't like just as much as it is the players you do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we focus on the breakouts and who's got the potential. But the reality is, if you're talking about winning and losing in fantasy, more often it's the wrong picks that derail your team, the guys that go belly up that just keep you away from the playoffs.
Well, let's start with the quarterback. And you selected a quarterback that I could tell you it's not going to be a taken well by Yates. Yates really likes this guy. He's thinking the best, but he's struggling a little bit physically and mentally. So let's talk about Joe Burrow, the 12th quarterback in ADP in the half PPR, which is what we're using here on Fantasy Pros to discuss the values of these players. So take me through your concerns with Joe Burrow. Is it just as simple as the knee injury, or are we just putting a little bit too much on the young quarterback anyway on top of that?
Yeah, so I'm thrilled to hear that we have a difference of opinion here. I think it's helpful to look at both sides. In fact, so in the Ultimate Draft Kit, we had Joe Burrow as a breakout. This year, early a couple months ago, we had him listed in there. And here's what I'm saying. He can actually break out this season, and he is an absolute downright bust for your fantasy draft. You should not be drafting Joe Burrow, and here's why. Right now, his average draft position puts him at quarterback 12. He is being drafted as a quarterback 1. He's in the single-digit rounds where you're grabbing him. And his injury, his surgery, his mobility, which is obviously being seen in camp as, it's not like one beat reporter saw a bad practice and said something, and now it's getting picked up everywhere. Literally everyone from the Bengals, including the other players, are talking about Joe Burrow's struggles. And it's not his fault. He's a great player. But this dude got injured late. He did not tear his ACL. He tore his ACL, his MCL, had some PCL damage, some meniscus damage. Like, this is a serious injury he's coming back from. We weren't sure on the timeline of just being able to fully get out there whether he was going to be available for week one. Like, that's the hope. Now, he's in camp. He's performing poorly. But my point is this. Why would you draft a player that you pretty much guarantee is going to get off to a slow start? Remember, last year when he was having his most success, a lot of it came in the running game. Go look at his week one performance. He gets out of the pocket. He runs around. Compare that to Daniel Jones. I know, obviously, not as good a prospect, but when he hurt his knee and was coming back from injury last year, you saw all of the rushing value for fantasy just poof, gone. And I think you're making a tragic mistake in your drafts if you are taking him at his current ADP, because what you're going to end up doing is dropping him and then someone else will pick him up later in the season when he's doing well, and they'll get the guy that you spent. He could break out this season, but he's bad for the fantasy for this time of year when you're going into drafts. Mm-hmm. He's pretty much off my board unless I'm in a two quarterback league. But the reality is, because of his ADP, he's never going to get to a spot where I'm going to draft him.
Well, that was my next question, and I just want to follow up on that real quick. So in a super flex, would you be okay if you did end up, let's say Burrow falls a little bit because of this injury and the what's happening now in camp. Let's say you got him at a good value. Would you take that opportunity to have him on your roster and then take like a boring third quarterback like a Carr or Roethlisberger or someone there late in the super flex? Or is Joe Burrow still that volatile to you that you still don't want to dance with him?
It's really just about the value and where he drops. If okay. people start drafting the way that I see it, and the Tannehills and Brady's are going higher, and Burrow is falling to the 16th, 17th quarterback, then sure, I would be fine with that because you can hold off and wait for a hopeful second half breakout. You literally named two of my three favorite targets in a super flex for the third quarterback. You know, the mm-hmm. Big Ben, Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, those guys mm-hmm. In a super flex as your third quarterback, I think are great options.
Yeah. Well, of course, handsome, smart people like us think alike. This is just the way it is. All right. Who is under center for you, Yates, on your all bust team? Who is the QB?
Yeah, let's go to Atlanta here with Matt Ryan. And now with Matt Ryan, he's been one of these steady Eddies for fantasy football for the past several years. And that has been with Julio Jones in the lineup. We've had Calvin Ridley there obviously take a major step forward. And now the argument becomes, well, Julio Jones is out of town, but we've got Kyle Pitts entering into the conversation to step alongside Calvin Ridley. And is that going to be enough, though, when we look at the surrounding cast that's left? You got Mike Davis out of the backfield, who I think is going to be a fine PPR option, but I don't think he's a difference maker to be able to rack up yardage for a quarterback that doesn't have much mobility to his game. And then you've got a rookie tight end, and for as much as I love Kyle Pitts, he's still a rookie tight end. So I think we need to be tempering expectations there a little bit. When you do projections and you sit down and you go and with Matt Ryan, because of his lack of rushing mobility, it's very difficult for me to rank him at QB 15, which is where he's going. And I think a lot of people are just copying and pasting from what he's done in previous years that, no, he's a streaming quarterback, he'll be fine. I just don't know if he's going to have the passing volume. And with the other options that are here in town, in Atlanta, outside of Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts, like what happens if one of those guys goes down with an injury? I mean, then we're looking at a very, very bare cupboard here of receiving options for Matt Ryan to throw to. For a guy who doesn't have that cheap rushing upside there, those cheap fantasy points with his mobility, it's just a guy that I'm willing to pass on. I'm not taking him in any mock drafts, even in a super flex league, honestly.
All right, let's change the conversation then. Let's look into the pantry, see what's in there, and see in a 14-team league, if you have a shot at Matt Ryan or Trevor Lawrence, where would you rank them? Well, who would you want prefer to be your quarterback on your team?
Oh, man, I think that even with Trevor Lawrence, like it kind of falls into Jason's Joe Burrow category in mm-hmm. argument, where it's like Trevor Lawrence, he's still a rookie quarterback and he's still going to take some time, even though he does have the rushing upside. And I think he can be a factor at the goal line. But even with that in mind, it's still risky to have him as your QB1 in a 14-team league or 16-team league or whatever. So Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan, I mean, I might just wait a little bit and I might go further down the board to grab a Cam Newton as a streaming quarterback this year. And then I'll figure it out. Maybe I pair him with, you know, I start out the year with Cam Newton as my quarterback. And then I grab Joe Burrow after he gets dropped on the waiver wire, because then I think those two might overlap where we start to see Mac Jones maybe take over and then Joe Burrow start to get up to speed, or even Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa is 22 in ADP right now, QB 22, and he has been on fire in training camp. Mm. And I think that he's still got a lot left to prove here in the NFL. I don't think that Chan Gailey did him any favors in year one. So I think even passing on Trevor Lawrence or Matt Ryan, going a little bit further down the board, grabbing Tua Tagovailoa or a Cam Newton later on.
We'll save Tua for the all sleeper team. That's what we're going to do. This is the bust team today. This is the time to be negative. Let's be more negative here. Let's go to the running back position. And I'm very glad, Jason, that you're talking about this first guy, because I don't have a sense of comfort with this player at all. Many people in the industry do. And I want to hear your take on Myles Gaskin, who's going as the 23rd running back. Now, the value, obviously, low-end RB2, okay, that is fair, especially when you look at the landscape of what's out there. But at the same time, it feels like everybody is way more comfortable with Myles Gaskin is really good and everything's going to be fine. I'm not there. Why aren't you either?
Yeah, well, part of what makes him a bust is actually the people he's going around. I mean, he's going ahead of Travis Etienne, Kareem Hunt, Chase Edmonds, players that I would take all of those guys, their upside, their offenses, their talent over Myles Gaskin 100 out of 100 times. Here's the thing. For Myles Gaskin to return on value and be anything like he was last year, he has to see the same 18 touches per game that he was seeing last year, except he's not going to. First of all, it's a new offensive coordinator, so they're running in a different system. They brought in Malcolm Brown, and now you're opening up Tua to pass more. Obviously, they went out and got Will Fuller. They went out and drafted Jaylen Waddle. This is a team that is not going to be centered around giving the ball to Myles Gaskin that many times. He also has to be super efficient in his receiving work the way he was last year. People bring up that efficiency, but one, receiving efficiency is not really a sticky stat, and it's easily skewed on 41 receptions. So I went back and watched the film. His three longest receptions were on broken plays in the final three games. You know, in fact, if you look at the first half of the season, he was 6.6 yards per catch, very pedestrian, no more than 36 yards per game. He has to improve on the touchdown front to make up for that, and he's not going to. He's a 200-pound running back that is not going to be the goal line guy. That's going to be Malcolm Brown, who they brought in, and the Dolphins literally might have the worst offensive line in the league. So I'm not sure what there is to love about Myles Gaskin. I think that the ceiling is maybe a few spots higher than where he's being drafted. The floor is just nothing. And, you know, you're taking him over guys that are also questionable. Not that Etienne and Chase Edmonds and Kareem Hunt don't have their own negatives. That's why they're in this range. But the upside and the talent and the offenses are just so much better there.
Yeah, ditto, man. I am all about what you're talking about. I don't have a whole lot of shares of Gaskin as a flex. I don't mind it as much, but a lot of people seem real comfortable, especially people who hit wide receiver early, looking at Gaskin as a really nice high-end RB2, and I ain't there. I'm just not there. ADP's not there either. I'm not there. Jason's not there. Before we get to Jason's next running back on his all-bust team, I want to tell you about Babbel, because the summer is here, and you want to get the most out of your travels abroad by learning the language of your destination with Babbel, the number one selling language learning app. From ordering in restaurants to asking for directions, gaining a deeper understanding of the culture, Babbel makes the whole process of learning a new language addictively fun and easy, with bite-sized little lessons that you can actually use in the real world. And Babbel is a can't-miss travel essential. 15-minute lessons, the perfect way to learn, so many easy ways to get in, and it's 14 different languages, including Spanish, Italian, French, German, all that stuff. You can come to my house and yell at me in Italian. You'll be welcome. This is what we like to do. And there's so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can also get access to podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. So right now, when you purchase 3 months of Babbel, 3 month subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 whole months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com and use the promo code PROS. That's Babbel.com. And again, that code is PROS for an extra 3 months on us. So go learn something this summer and expand your horizons. Let's expand to the second running back here with our good friend Jason Moore. Now, go ahead. Who is the second running back on your all-bust team you want to talk about?
What am I, chop liver?
Well, I was going to do both running backs at a time. Well, sometimes. You know what, Yates? You know what? We will bounce back over to you for your first. I wanted to do them in groups, but you know what? To heck with that. You're at a coffee table right now, or a TV tray, whatever it is you're working at. Let's get to you, chop liver. Who is your first running back to talk about?
Oh, my word. Okay, I'm going to go with Josh Jacobs.
In case
here.
I haven't said it today, I love you, Yates.
I appreciate that.
Notice he doesn't say I love you too, Joe.
Yes.
Did you notice that, Jason?
I love you too, Joe.
He did not say I love you too.
I love you
too. Thinking about himself here.
Uh-huh. There we go. Yeah. All right. Josh Jacobs, running back 16 in ADP. And for a lot of people that are coming back to the table in fantasy football, they're coming back and they tune in early August. And they remember what Josh Jacobs did last year. And he finished as a top 10 running back, a top 12 running back last year. And people say, like, we know the workload that he's going to get. And I think one of the issues that we have year after year is that we come back to the table and we just kind of assume that the situations are completely the same, that whatever happened last year for a player is going to be the same for this year. And while I do think that Josh Jacobs is going to receive a heavy amount of work on the ground, you now have Kenyon Drake, who was brought into this backfield throughout the offseason for a pretty sizable contract for a running back. And they have been talked about, they've talked about him playing the joker role in this offense to be moved all around the formation and to be heavily targeted as a receiver. For Josh Jacobs, the argument has always been, well, he's getting a ton of work on the ground, but he could be the RB1 in all of fantasy football if he got the receiving workload that we think he should be getting. He's such a talented receiver out of the backfield. He's just never getting that volume. And with this situation now where you have Kenyon Drake stepping in, all upside for that is completely gone. So while I think Josh Jacobs is still going to be a safe low-end RB2 for your roster, one that you can plug in and you know what you're going to get every week, I just, the offensive line took a major step back this offseason too, with a lot of pieces being shipped off. I just don't have a lot of faith in John Gruden and this coaching staff here to utilize Josh Jacobs in the best way. I think we could see Kenyon Drake factor in way more than we're expecting. All that just goes to say RB16, I feel like that is his ceiling this year. And to be drafting Josh Jacobs at his ceiling when there are a lot of other players further down the board in ADP that I would prefer to be taking, I'll just let someone else take him. So Josh Jacobs here.
Yates, do you think that people just have a false sense of security with Jacobs? And do you think what you've seen so far in drafts that you've been in, that people are discounting him enough for that crowded backfield situation?
I really don't think so. I think that he is still going at a spot where people, maybe the people who have been around the entire offseason, right, the fantasy football diehards, they know what to expect out of Josh Jacobs, and they know that they should be concerned about Kenyon Drake. But I think with where he's still going, we're seeing it in ADP. Mm-hmm. We're still seeing that he's RB16. So unless we see that tick down to like RB20, it's probably going to be a guy that I have on zero of my fantasy football rosters.
All right, let's continue on with the bus team. Unless, Jason, do you have any thoughts on Josh Jacobs you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen him going very high in most of my drafts. I know that right now Sleeper has him as the running back 19. The only thing I'll say is I agree that his ceiling is gone. I mean, he's not going to be that running back one, not going to go out and catch 50 passes with Kenyon Drake there. But I got him late. Like, I was in a super flex the other day. Yeah. I got him in the seventh round. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is a guy who only caught 33 passes last year. He was the running back 8. So if he is down at running back, you know, 20, I certainly don't think that's his ceiling, but he's clearly he's got some blemishes with the offensive line and with Kenyon Drake there.
What's interesting is ADP right now on Fantasy Pros and the half PPR tells you RB 16. But then when you get out there in the drafts, as you were saying, I was in Superflex and Flex League this weekend on Saturday, and again, he went later than expected. I'm seeing that start to happen in drafts, even though you're not seeing an ADP, maybe in some mocks and some other things. In that real-life draft, when you have to really click the button and draft the guy and have him on your roster, it's not quite the same, and he's been falling a lot, too, in best balls that I've been doing, too. He's just kind of there, and it's just, you know, I had one draft or two. I think I got him as my RB3. It was just crazy of where he was falling because people are so afraid. Are you afraid of Zach Moss? Because must be. He must have made this list for you for some reason. He's RB36, so do you think he's a bust at RB36? Is that worth even calling a bust in terms of investment, Jason?
Well, yeah, because people are drafting him. And
fair enough.
He's not certainly not going to hurt you the way that, you know, if you draft a Saquon Barkley in the first round, he ends up busting. You know, this is lower hanging fruit. The reason I bring him up is because this week reports were coming out that he has, quote, consistently been the best running back out of Bills camp. I've seen some hype going around, you know, breakout candidates and what you look for. And, oh, Zach Moss checks a lot of boxes. But I don't believe that that's true. I don't think that this is a team that you want the running game of. They were 60-40 pass to run. They, no matter if he's the best or if Singletary's the best, either way, it's a two-man race here. They're splitting a small pie. If you combine Devin Singletary and Zach Moss from last year and take either or, whoever was better, there was one top 12 fantasy finish. And then this also goes back to just the rookie scouting. He's slow. He's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none, where he doesn't inspire me on the goal line. That's Josh Allen who's going to be scoring those rushing touchdowns. He doesn't inspire me in the passing game. He can catch the ball and do very little with it. So it's just a matter of when you're there and there's the hype going around about Zach Moss. Now, granted, he came up, I believe, today with a hamstring issue.
Yep.
So maybe the hype will cease. But yesterday, the hype was, we were talking about it on our show, and it's all smoke, no fire. So I'm out on Zach Moss.
Yeah, small piece of the pie, you're right. So how good could he be even if he has all of it? By the way, what's the best pie, in your opinion, since we're on the subject?
Oh, banana cream, if we're talking, you know, the cold pies. Nice apple cobbler type of hot pie, but banana cream pie is the best.
And sorry, and the answer we were looking for was chocolate cream. I'm sorry, chocolate cream pie is the best pie. Come on now.
Oh, I forgot about bad takes. I didn't know that was allowed here on this
now
show.
Now I know why we've never done a show together. This will be the one and only time, you and me, Moore. Oh, all right.
Wait, Joe.
Yes,
sir. I love you.
I love you, too.
I love you. I mean, I love you. I wouldn't say it, I'll say it.
Do you see how quickly I said it back, Yates? Do you see? That's real love. Do you see? There was no hesitation.
Reciprocation.
Boom, right there. The bro love is real here today. All right, let's go to your second running back on your all-bus team, Yates. Who is the guy? Because it looks like he is right next to Josh Jacobs in terms of ADP.
Yeah, let's rewind a little bit here, guys, to when Doug Peterson was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and we said, oh, if only Miles Sanders had a different head coach and he got the workload that he was supposed to get. And then Doug Peterson is fired, and we go, yes, it's finally happening, because Miles Sanders is an incredibly talented running back. And then we get Nick Sirianni, and apparently all indications are that he is going to be even worse than Doug Peterson as far as utilizing Miles Sanders and utilizing specifically other running backs in this rotation. Now, you've got Miles Sanders, obviously, in this backfield, who, again, I just mentioned it, he's an incredibly talented running back. But then you've also got Kenneth Gainwell that they drafted in the fifth round, who I was a big, big fan of coming out of Memphis. And then you've got Boston Scott still here from last year. Jordan Howard is still on the step chart. I don't expect him to make the team. But then Kerryon Johnson. All five of these running backs really have a case to be made that they can make this team and actually see work in this offense. And obviously Nick Sirianni coming over from Indianapolis, where we saw Jonathan Taylor get work, Jordan Wilkins get work, Marlon Mack was obviously getting work before he got injured, Nyheim Hines, they've got a role for him. So with Miles Sanders, I just don't see the upside here. Not to mention the fact that he's been struggling with drops and fumbles here in training camp. All this just goes together for me to say Miles Sanders, even at RB20, an ADP consensus right now in half PPR scoring, that's still just too rich for me. I mean, there are other guys Jason mentioned earlier, Travis Etienne. Give me Travis Etienne over Miles Sanders straight up.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one 100%. And I think every mock we've done, I've made that choice every chance that I was given. I don't like the crowded backfield situation. It's not good. I understand Sanders is one of these guys too. Doesn't necessarily need to touch the ball 20 times to be effective, but with Hurts there running the football a little bit as well, on top of all the other names that are in there and drafting Gainwell, like you talked about, it's just, I don't know, it just seems like, once again, we're down to that small pie, and this is even more costly than Zach Moss. Zach Moss is 36, Sanders is 17. At 17, you better be getting somebody that you can really rely on as an RB2. I'd much rather have the Chris Carson type running back than Miles Sanders, personally. So that's where I'm at with that one. And if you are at a place in your fantasy life where you want a new challenge, there's a new fantasy platform called Dynasty Owner that unites fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding the strategy of running an NFL franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard fantasy football fanatics that want the real GM experience. Go to DynastyOwner.com. New leagues are forming now. That's DynastyOwner.com. We've all been in a league where the winner just got lucky. And if you're like me and you think you're better than most, Dynasty Owner gives you the platform to prove it. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their roster using real NFL salaries within the salary cap, and it adds an entirely new level of strategy to the game you love. So go to DynastyOwner.com and validate your fantasy football skills today. Now, I'm happy to announce here on the show our first stack here, because on the all-bus team of Jason Moore, he's got a quarterback and a wide receiver. Did you even realize you did this? Or is this kind of just a happy circumstance at the end?
I didn't do it intentionally to take a bust stack, but I definitely think one can aid the other in not getting off to the fastest start.
Very nice.
You want me to launch in to my... now, I stand alone on our show. I have to fight against the other two hosts' love of Ja'Marr Chase, and I will eat it from most people here, because obviously Ja'Marr Chase is the generational wide receiver prospect, right? That's who every single year, whoever's drafted number one at wide receivers, some generational talent, same at every position. And the reality for Ja'Marr Chase is that he is being drafted in a place ahead of legitimately really important, really good wide receivers in a rookie year where you are hoping for some Odell Beckham, Ja'Marr Jefferson, Justin Jefferson type of season here, where that's the only way he's going to pay off on the value to draft him. Struggling in camp right now. When I scouted him, he was my third favorite wide receiver. I know that that is sacrilege, not even having him in the top two. It was okay if you put Devontae Smith ahead of him, but oh man, this is a guy who, look, he didn't play football last year. And I'm not saying he's not talented. I'm not saying he's not going to be great. If this is a dynasty league, give me Ja'Marr Chase. But in a redraft league, historically speaking, even the wide receivers that hit in their rookie year aren't usually good the first half. Now you combine that with my Joe Burrow argument of the, you know, getting off to a potential slow start, and you've got a real problem here. The fact that you're drafting Ja'Marr Chase and you're drafting him right next to Tyler Lockett and Deontay Johnson. I mean, these are guys where it's like, okay, you're hoping, I feel, that that Ja'Marr Chase really gets it going in the second half of the year. Maybe he could be as good as Tyler Lockett. Like, I mean, just grab Tyler Lockett, have him the whole year. Have a guy who, you know, has 100 receptions and double-digit touchdowns, who was the wide receiver 9 last year. I think that the love and the hope, I mean, here's the thing. We haven't seen it, right? He could literally come and be the best wide receiver in the history of the NFL. He could take Jerry Rice to task because we haven't seen it yet. But all that hype and that hope is out of control. It's just something where to pay off on the value, he pretty much has to have one of, if not the best, rookie wide receiver season of all time. And I'm going to go ahead and take the field. I'm going to take history. I'm going to take mathematics that are on my side. And not to say that Ja'Marr Chase is a bad football player. I just think his draft position is way, way too high. And if you want to take the chance on a rookie wide receiver, like either spend a really important fifth round pick on Ja'Marr Chase or a really unimportant double digit round pick sometimes in on Devontae Smith, who is the clear wide receiver one for his team. Whereas here, Maybe he'll have the most targets, but it's probably likely that he gets the third most targets on that team. So I don't see what the love is in redraft leagues for Ja'Marr Chase at his draft position. But I know I stand alone against Andy and Mike from my show.
Well, people forget, too, that Justin Jefferson had some struggles. Not struggles, but he was kind of quiet early on. And then as the season went on, just explosiveness. And I've been a T. Higgins guy very much at the end of last year. I was very much a T. Higgins guy. T. Higgins is the breakout guy next year. Him and CeeDee Lamb, let's go. And then they drafted Chase, and all of a sudden the T. Higgins love has gone away. And I'm still here, I feel like, by myself on an island, still liking T. Higgins. And I like Chase, the talent, but I think it's okay to like the talent and be concerned with the circumstance or the price you have to pay for that talent, as you're saying, with the unknown and all that, that darn math against you, that pesky math always shows up there. Who shows up on your wide receiver list here on your all bust team, Yates?
Yeah, let's go to early on, guys. We're, again, this is the players that I'm not necessarily going to say that they are completely irrelevant for your fantasy football lineup, but it's all about expectation management, right? And the players that could disappoint. And Mike Evans, all the way up at wide receiver 13, is really, really puzzling to me. With Mike Evans, we need to remember what it was like last year to roster Mike Evans, where there were several games where he had 1 to 3 targets, and which is a complete disappointment, but he saved his fantasy day by scoring a touchdown, right? That 1 for 2 and a touchdown game, you know, that was kind of what Mike Evans became known for last year. And then as we moved throughout the season, we started to see things click for the offense in general, and we started to see Mike Evans become a little bit more fantasy relevant and actually perform like people expected him to. But that was with Chris Godwin kind of banged up. Antonio Brown still wasn't fully into the lineup. Rob Gronkowski, you know, you didn't have a pass catching back out of the backfield. And now this offense is extremely loaded. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski. You do have O.J. Howard coming back into the fold. Then you have Giovanni Bernard, Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones. I mean, even Keyshawn Vaughn's showing out in camp as a receiver. So it's like, where? How do we find all the targets that are going to go Mike Evans' way to return wide receiver 13 value? That because when you're drafting him that highly, you need him to be a rock-solid contributor for your lineup. And the main thing, the main concern here, is Antonio Brown. The closer that we get to the start of the season, the more concerned I'm becoming about Antonio Brown and his role in this offense eating into Chris Godwin's role and Mike Evans. And we've talked about it, Joe, several times in the show, is saying if Mike Evans is going all the way up at wide receiver 13, Chris Godwin's what, wide receiver 16? I don't have that up in front of me, but like he's around that range, right around Mike Evans.
Right.
And then we've got Antonio Brown down in the 40s. I mean, give me the value pick of Antonio Brown.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, if you're concerned with all the crowdedness of this field when it comes to the wide receivers, why not take the cheaper guy? It's not like the cheaper guy wasn't wide receiver one for many years overall. It wasn't like the talent. Yeah, he's older. Yeah, it's still crowded, but the investment strategy certainly is a better one. I was saving this for the bold prediction show, but maybe this is a teaser for it, Yates. Could this be the year where Mike Evans doesn't reach 1,000 yards for the first time in his career?
I mean, it's possible, but then with the 17-game season, that being built into it, I think that, you know, it's a little bit trickier to project that, but I think that Evans is still going to be heavily targeted in the red zone. I think he'll be fine, but it's the volume that then can help, you know, can help buoy that. You know, I just don't know. I don't know if that's going to be there.
All right. We are talking all bus team. Let's take a quick break to tell you about another sponsor of the show, and that is Pristine Auction. If you want all the cool stuff, all the swag, the autographed helmets, the jerseys, the stuff for your little TV table like Yates that reminds him that it's still okay, that he's still going to be fine even though his workspace has really shrunk in the last 24 hours quite a bit. Well, Pristine Auction is the place to go. It's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Everything there is backed with a certification of authenticity. There's stuff that's cheap there too. It doesn't have to cost you $10,000 to get a really cool item. You could show off your favorite stuff from your favorite team, your favorite players. And they've got more than just football stuff too. They got cards, they've got artwork, they've got Marvel stuff, comic book stuff, wrestling stuff. So many cool things. But you can't find them unless you sign up. And you can sign up for free at Pristine Auction. Again, use that promo code FANTASYPROS when you do in that registration field. And you get a $5 credit on us just for signing up. You're welcome. Now go spend it nicely and get yourself some nice things. Again, that's at PristineAuction.com. P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E Auction.com. Let's go to the wide receiver on your list next. Jason Moore, who is number two on your all-bust team at wide receiver.
I've got Adam Thielen as my next all-bust team, and it breaks my heart because I love Adam Thielen. You watched the film last year, and around the goal line, he was great. That's why he had, 14 touchdowns, which is outlandish, and that's why he finished well. But the reality is that is hard to replicate. That is not something that is very often going to be repeated, and especially at his age. If you break down last season, right, you had Justin Jefferson break out. Weeks 1 through 9, Adam Thielen has a 29% market share. He's the wide receiver 12. He's dominating. Justin Jefferson, like you said, got off to a slower start, wasn't really involved those first 2 weeks. He breaks out certainly at that midway point. And if you look at the weeks 10 through 17, now all of a sudden there is a wide receiver with 29% market share. It's not Adam Thielen. It's Justin Jefferson. Adam Thielen drops to an 18% market share. He had 74 receptions. This is after, you know, being 113 reception type of guy. His volume is down. He was touchdown dependent, and he's 31 years old. There have only been 9 players since the year 2000 who have been 30 years old with 10 plus touchdowns, and they all drop 6 to 7 touchdowns the next season, with the sole exception of first ballot Hall of Famer Randy Moss, Marvin Harrison. That's it. We're talking massive drops in the next year. So at age 31, with him being the now second target on his team, with a very improved defense in Minnesota, I think they're not going to have to try to score 30, 40, 50 points like they were giving up a lot of times last year. So I think you're going to have a lower volume guy who's touchdown dependent. Touchdown is not a very sticky stat historically. And so I think you're going to be disappointed. And that breaks my heart because Adam Thielen's always been a draft day value. And right now I think he's just someone where this isn't to guarantee he falls off, but the upside and the hope isn't quite there. And there is real potential that when you draft him, you're the player left holding the bag. He ages out. He starts to decline. Right. And now, you know, I don't want to draft the players that I see a good chance at holding the bag. Like Mike Evans feels old. Mike Evans 27 years old. Like, you know, that age break for wide receivers is usually 31 where Adam Thielen is, and I don't want to be I don't want to have to pay the bill.
You verbalized everything in my heart when it comes to Adam Thielen, because I love the player. I love the story. I always found him to be a value, a great return on your investment, because a lot of people still would never buy into him. So every year we'd come at a discount. But I've had zero shares so far this year. In fact, on Saturday at Flex, I had a chance to take him as my second wide receiver, and I passed Julio Jones was there, and I said, well, I'm going to take Julio every day of the week. And if I'm wrong on that one, I'll live and die on the Hall of Famer. That's fine. But to me, you look at the ADP, they're practically back to back. I'm going to take the Hall of Fame wide receiver. I love Adam Thielen, but I think you're right. I think there's a really good chance this year you see the drop off because of the age, the mileage, and also the body type of, you know, some of those smaller wide receivers. You see like the Edelmans and the Welkers. Sometimes it just, you snap your fingers and all of a sudden it's gone. It's gone so fast. And you go, oh, what happened? It was such a good thing while it lasted. Number two on your list, Kyle Yates. Who's the guy at wide receiver?
Yeah, can we go back to Adam Thielen really
quick?
Sure,
absolutely.
Because to tag on to Jason's argument, I mean, 12 targets last year in the red zone, 8 receiving touchdowns. Like, he caught 8 of those 12 targets for touchdowns. And that is just so, if you are drafting Adam Thielen, where he's going currently in drafts as a mid-range wide receiver too, you are banking on that efficiency. Now, he's got the chemistry with Kirk Cousins. We know that. So it's possible that we see him hit those numbers again. But yeah, there's a lot going against him there. I just wanted to chime in with that. I think it's a really good call.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So number two on your list is Kenny Golladay. Not surprising. Yeah. This is a guy that we've been really tough on. The injury doesn't help. The schedule doesn't help. But, you know, it's funny. Do you think that we've talked about him enough where we've started to suppress the ADP collectively? Because I feel like he's kind of on everybody's all bust kind of realm. There's a certain point where he hits a value, Yates?
It's really interesting. I went on a couple of guest podcasts earlier on in the offseason, like right after NFL free agency. And I got the question of, can Kenny Golladay be a wide receiver one? And I remember pushing back on that, going like, no, I don't think so, because we've got a very loaded receiving core here in New York to begin with, because remember, they had just added Kyle Rudolph, too. So you had guys like Sterling Shepard already there, Saquon Barkley, obviously, and then Darius Slayton. And then you add in Kadarius Toney in the first round of the NFL draft, and suddenly it becomes just way too loaded of a receiving core. And it feels, you mentioned sacrilege earlier, Jason, like it feels sacrilege to rank Kenny Golladay at lower than a wide receiver too, because he's so much fun to watch on the football field. But it's trying to put a lot of faith here in Daniel Jones and Jason Garrett as a play caller to get the most out of Kenny Golladay. And that's not even bringing into account the injury history there. So with Kenny Golladay at wide receiver 24 in ADP consensus right now, I can't do it. If he falls to the point where I can get him as a wide receiver 3, sure. But I mean, there are some other guys in that range that I feel like bring a little bit more upside and also bring a little bit of a safer floor. So Kenny Golladay, man, at wide receiver 24, I just can't get on board.
All right. Next guy on your list, Deebo Samuel. And I got to tell you, Jason, this is another player I loved coming out of college. I was all in on, had all the shares. Teased you a little bit with some really good performances. Injuries happen. Last year, I was willing to love again. Injuries happened. Then Brandon Ayuk happened. Now, I have a problem. I am not ready to love again. Even though I love you, I do not love the current investment on Deebo Samuel, and it looks like you don't either.
Yeah, we did a study over at thefantasyfootballers.com where we looked at teams with great tight ends. How often do they have a good wide receiver too? It's never. I mean, it's just Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have the best offense for fantasy imaginable. And the wide receiver two, because Travis Kelce is really their wide receiver one. But, you know, Tyreek's the wide receiver one, and then it's nobody. You know, you get a game here or there. DeMarcus Robinson, Brian Pringle, Mecole Hardman. Like, they're all worthless. They are. And so now you've got George Kittle, who is one of those three dominant tight ends. And you say, okay, there is no chance that George Kittle plus Deebo Samuel plus Brandon Ayuk are all valuable. There's just none. Especially when you're not talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, but you're talking about a smaller passing volume team that wants to run the ball first and then pass. Look, Brandon Ayuk is a stud. He came out in his rookie year and dominated in the second half. He's been dominating at camp. He is going to take that year two wide receiver leap, leaving Deebo Samuel, who has one of the shortest depth of targets in the league. He's a borderline running back. They use him that way. So now you've got a target pie that really says he's not going to get enough volume to be fantasy relevant. The quality of the volume he's getting is very short to the line of scrimmage. And that is to say nothing of a true injury history that, like, you know, some people are very against using the injury prone label. And I get that because injuries are fluky. It's not something you can predict. But there are a few guys, like his teammate Jalen Hurd, right? He's still on the team, has never really done anything. I don't even know if has he played a minute on the NFL field? I don't know. He's talented, but his
really
body is not made for football. And if you go back and look at Deebo Samuel, he was super injured in high school, a lot. Big injury history. Super injured in college, huge injury history. Mm-hmm. So far in the NFL, has not been able to stay on the field. And so at this point, it's like, okay, if he's the target three on a low passing volume where a tight end is involved, the breakout potential of Brandon Ayuk, short depth of target, and an injury history, like, I'm out. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And sometimes you just got to make that call and say, I am fine being wrong, and Deebo might be the guy. I don't live in that world.
And going right in between him, or should I say right around that same area, Antonio Brown, Jerry Jeudy, two guys are finding their way onto my rosters quite a bit. And I don't even think Deebo's close to them, Jason, right? I feel like to put that to you, that's no brainer, right? Those three guys on the board, you're taking one of the others, correct?
100%. Yeah, right. Absolutely. While I'm not in agreement on the Mike Evans bust, I am 100% in agreement on the Antonio Brown value like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Antonio Brown is both. a screaming value right now.
Yeah, and you can still like Mike Evans and Antonio Brown. You just got to understand sometimes certain weeks you're going to be pissed off. It's just not going to go your way. You know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, like 2012-ish, like Tony Gonzalez, Roddy White, young Julio Jones. That's like the last time I can remember two good wide receivers with a... Because even Tony Gonzalez at the end was still getting 100 targets. Like, he was still a pretty darn good tight end. But I can't think of another one. I mean, it's not common. Tough, man. It's not common. It really isn't. Wow, good stuff there. All right, let's go to the third wide receiver on Yates' list. Yates, who you got on your all-bust team at wide receiver three?
Yeah, I've talked about this player throughout the offseason, and that's Juju Smith-Schuster at wide receiver 30 in ADP consensus right now. And my concern here with Juju is that we are going to see, you know, Jason mentioned that year two leap from Brandon Ayuk. I think we're going to see that from Chase Claypool this year, to the point where we're seeing a consistent wide receiver two for your lineup. And we know that when Deontay Johnson is on the field, that he's going to get a ton of work. My concern here is with Matt Canada as the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh, do we see more two tight end sets? With needs on the offensive line in the second round, they went and they didn't draft an offensive lineman. They went with a tight end, and they drafted Pat Freiermuth, who out of Penn State, who I absolutely loved.
Throughout the Dynasty podcast, Jay,
I kept saying that if we didn't have Kyle Pitts in this class, we'd be talking about Pat Freiermuth consistently as a first round talent. So I was shocked that he fell all the way to that spot in the second round. So I think we're going to see him on the field right away, and I think we're going to see some two tight end sets there. And what does that do? It takes off the slot receiver in this offense, which is Juju Smith-Schuster. We don't have a significant investment from this coaching staff in this as far as a contract into Juju Smith-Schuster. He came back on a very cheap deal this year, and I think that for the ridiculous touchdown rate that he had last year, I just don't think that that's sustainable this year. With the passing volume coming down to a ton with Najee Harris in town, it's not like the Steelers are going to be throwing 650 times again this year. You know, that number is going to come crashing down. So all three of the Steelers wide receivers being as, top 30 options, I feel like that's just ridiculous. And for me, I'm going to lean on Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, and that leaves Juju Smith-Schuster out in the cold.
Yeah. How do you feel about that wide receiving core of Pittsburgh too? Do you have a pecking order, Jason, the way you like to rank them? It seems the way you talked about Deontay that you're a fan like I am, but what about the other two?
Yeah, I would rank Juju last in that core. I will say this, it's really funny how disrespected Juju is. Like I'm not drafting Juju. Like I pass by him. But I also recognize, like, he was the wide receiver 18 last year. And he was in the slot, and he was actually valuable. He's being drafted well behind that. Mm-hmm. And he should be fine. I just don't, it's like when he let us down after the departure of Antonio Brown, it didn't come
right
to the promised land.
Take the torch, like everybody, like it was the Santonio Holmes, the Plaxico, the Antonio Browns. Like, okay, well, you're the next guy, and he didn't do it. And everyone's like, well, you suck. Well, he doesn't suck.
No.
He's just not exciting, and that's okay. I'll take Juju. You guys will leave him there for me. I'll take him. He's boring as a wide receiver three. If I have a good wide receiver one and a two that I really like, I'm at peace with Juju. I understand what you guys are saying, though.
He's probably a fine pick. He's just like, sometimes you get tired of guys. I'm tired of him.
Vanilla ice cream. It's still ice cream. It's still good. Yeah. But it doesn't have the same pizzazz as, say, the mint chocolate chip or something like that. All right, tight end. For me, is usually an all bust no matter what, for the most part. I'm not a big fan of the position. Everybody knows. I watch the shows. I tend to wait as long as I can. I'm always concerned about the guys in the middle. And it looks like you're concerned about one of those guys, too. Tight end 7 off the board, Dallas Goedert. Is that because Zach Ertz is still around, or just because the quarterback, or a combination of a lot of things?
Look, I love Dallas Goedert. He's so talented. He should be good. The problem is certainly Zach Ertz. He is this year's Tyler Higbee. There was a lot of buzz, a lot of hype about Tyler Higbee last year.
Yeah.
And it was all based on what we saw when Gerald Everett was off the field. Tyler Higbee dominated. I mean, he was unbelievable. And then it turns out that was because, you know, Everett was off the field, and Tyler Higbee was an unmitigated bust last year, even though he was fine. He's a good player, but like the hope, the hype, it did not come to fruition. And that's how I feel about Dallas Goedert this year. This is a team that doesn't project to be a great team, doesn't project to be a high volume passing team with Jalen Hurts there. He's already going to be splitting targets with another tight end on his team. And historically, when you look at 5th, 6th, 7th round tight ends, they are almost always, with the sole exception in my memory of Darren Waller a couple years ago, you know, they always let you down. They stink. Like, I am of the mindset that I get one of the top three guys, or I am double digits at tight end, and I'm streaming the position. Because if you grab Dallas Goedert, you're going to be streaming the position, but now you're grabbing like the 7th guy. You're giving up decent shots at running back and wide receivers to grab a guy that you're going to be streaming. And you're going to be dropping guys and picking guys up off of waivers. Just don't waste that capital in your draft. And that has obviously nothing to do with the talent. If Zach Ertz had left, I was very high on Dallas Goedert early in the offseason because I assumed it was a foregone conclusion that Ertz was gone. But Ertz is racking up targets. He's going to get a ton of targets. He's going to make us all sad. Would you draft Ertz? No. So it's like, why are you drafting Goedert? Just because he's maybe a little younger and more athletic, he's going to get about the same targets as Ertz. So yeah, I'm not playing that middle round tight end game.
It's all about the capital, and you're right. That's the capital part of the draft where you're going to give up depth at running back or wide receiver, and I'm not willing to do that either. Yates, who is your tight end on your all-bust team?
Man, I completely agree with Jason's argument there for Dallas Goedert. I'm in complete agreement there, and a lot of it can be copy and pasted over to Noah Fant, who I've got at it's tight end 7 or tight end 8 in ADP, depending on what you're looking at. I mean, both these guys back-to-back, and I just don't understand why you would invest significant capital into Dallas Goedert, who does have Zach Ertz in town, or Noah Fant, who doesn't have great quarterback play and has a ton of other options that he has to share the football with in a what I project to be a low passing volume offense. So I think with Noah Fant, like, yes, an incredibly talented player, but we have not seen him rise to the level. I mean, only 3 receiving touchdowns each of the past 2 years. So it's not like we've seen that breakout happen with Noah Fant to the point where he should be going as tight end 7. You know, we haven't seen that yet. He does have the talent, don't get me wrong, but we haven't seen it yet, and now he has to share the football with Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, I mean, even Tim Patrick, to then Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams out of the backfield, even Albert Okwuegbunam at his own position there at tight end. So there's just too much here for me to say Noah Fant is going to return tight end 7. I think he's being drafted even above his ceiling.
What's your approach, Jason, on tight end? Yates and I have had a lot of conversations, and you know, we've done the whole great or late thing where if you get Waller, great. If you get Kelsey, awesome. If not, are there guys that you're taking shots on or like a
Jason's
soft spot
drafting
for you?
Jason's drafting Jonnu Smith. It's okay.
Is he another Jonnu guy?
No. I think I made fun of Yates on Twitter for the Jonnu love. I'll be defending
him on Twitter on the John Who Love, but that's
sure.
Okay.
We'll, you guys can have him. When I bypass those early guys, a lot of times I'm looking for it, and this is ironic based on my argument, but Tyler Higbee, the post hype.
Well, he's cheaper now. I was going to say he's cheaper now. So
pretty much free. You can grab him. Usually, look, most leagues, 12 tight ends are taken. That's it. And so you can grab Higbee usually I've grabbed him with my last positional pick. He's the guy I'm targeting late because Gerald Everett is gone. And Higbee is decent. At the end of the year, I think he has a way better season than both of these tight ends that are going well ahead of him. So yeah, I am fine grabbing an early round guy. Otherwise, I'm looking for those late guys like Tyler Higbee. I've seen Tonyan still dropping super low. Like, yep, I was off of him, but
it's crazy.
Rodgers is back, and you're going to throw touchdowns. So, and then a shout out for Mike's guy Adam Trautman, who someday will break out.
Maybe someday. All right, just to recap the teams for Jason, the quarterback, Joe Burrow, running backs, Miles Gaskin, Zach Moss, the wide receivers, Jamar Chase, Adam Thielen, Deebo Samuel, at tight end, Dallas Goedert. For Yates, Matt Ryan at quarterback, running backs, Jacobs and Miles Sanders, wide receiver, Mike Evans, Kenny Golladay, Juju Smith-Schuster, tight end, Noah Fant. And he actually had a flex in there because he's an overachiever. I love you, Yates. Again, the second time I'm saying it today, hopefully, maybe by Football Fest. There you go. Oh, there it is. Aww. All right. James Robinson, a little flex action there. Good job. Also, I think a potential bus candidate as well. Our guest, again, Jason Moore. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at JasonFFL. And of course, you can check out the Fantasy Footballers, but chances are you already are. Jason, we appreciate you taking the time with us today to share your thoughts, your knowledge, and your bad takes on pie. What else you got going on besides 1,000 podcasts?
Oh man, right now it's just the ultimate draft kit. We're just working on that morning, noon, and night, making sure we help people win championships and have fun doing it. That's the whole goal. So we are grinding at all times.
There you have it. All right. So hopefully, Yates, you'll get back to the home studio tomorrow. That's the hope, right? We're working towards that.
Oh man, I hope so.
You're a warrior, Yates. You're going out there and you're getting the job done. I love it. And don't worry, guys. Tags will be back sooner than you know it. He is hopefully getting healthier, getting on the mend. And we love Tags, too. It's a big love fest today, even though this team was all about hate, which is ironic, but great. All right. Let's again thank our sponsor of today's show. It's Babbel. Go to Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Use that promo code Pros to get an extra 3 months for free, 6 free months to learn a language of your choice in a fun way. Don't forget to challenge yourself over at dynastyowner.com. Real fantasy football with the real NFL salary cap. Dynastyowner.com is the place to be for all of it. And of course, our friends at Pristine Auction, make sure you go ahead and sign up today. Pristine auction.com. Use that code Fantasy Pros to get $5 on us just for registering. Don't forget, Thursday, August 19th, Fantasy Football Fest. Huge guests, all football, 10 a.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be 12 hours of fantasy football goodness. You can only see it, though, on our YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe to Fantasy Pros. And again, click that notifications button over on YouTube. That's youtube.com/fantasypros. And go get yourself a CEH helmet, too. I'm just giving away stuff. I'm giving away money, giving away helmets. Fantasypros.com/contest to get that CEH helmet. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Jason Moore and Kyle Yates, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros. And subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.